There are many advantages to having a lay reader. One is that you all get to hear a different voice. The other is that I can glance out from behind the pulpit and see your faces as you listen. Over the years, I've seen looks that run the range from intense to daydreaming. I've seen puzzlement. I've even seen something that says that people aren't liking what they're hearing. Changing out the traditional Revised Standard Version for the Message translation makes the watching all the more fun. It's especially true when a text from one of Paul's epistles is read. The Standard Version retains some of the flowery language of the King James and sometimes tamps down some of the rougher edges of the text. There are verses that have become so well known and so common that even folks who never pick up a Bible seem to know them. You reap what you sow, be not weary in doing well. A problem arises, however, in these old translations in that the epistles can always have some difficulty in being fully comprehended. So I know what that face looks like when someone's thinking, you know, what was that all about? The Message has its detractors. Because the lovely, polite language has been taken out, in their place, there's a kind of bluntness. I've seen faces that tell me that the people in the pews get it. I've seen an amused smile come across. And I've seen some discomfort. An example would be last week's reading from Galatians included Paul's listing of the sins of the flesh. I've seen folks look as if it all came perhaps just a little bit too close for comfort. In the gospel, we have that kind of paradox. Jesus is always telling us about seeking the kingdom of God. What could be bigger? What could be grander? And yet this kingdom begins at our doorstep. It's a seed that grows into a big tree. It is the small bit of yeast that causes a loaf to rise. So there's always that tension, big picture versus the small picture. And the role of Scripture is to help us to find a focus that allows us to somehow see our own selves in this grand scheme of things, to have a sense of the whole, of who we are in all of this. So Paul has this burden, this challenge. He's trying to bring this scattered flock back. They're not physically apart, but they find that they're all over the place when it comes to varied concerns and issues. Often they're straddling a fence, some on both sides. In the midst of all this, he stops. And he just tries to remind them over and over again of what really matters for them. Loving one another, bearing each other's burdens, not being judgmental. I read a commentary on our gospel passage, and one of the writers said, you know, it really just sounds like Jesus is setting down his disciples and giving them a pep talk, almost like a coach would give a team. Can't you hear Jesus saying, okay, go out and get them. Go out and get them. And as a church, I think we come here looking for that pep talk, needing that encouragement. But too often we forget that what we're hearing is a send-off. Each Sunday, we're being told in that gospel, in that epistle, go out and get them. We're sent out to work the field. The Bible loves that kind of earthy language. Talk of sowing and of reaping, harvesting a bounty is always the hope. If only, with all this abundance, if only we had more hands to do the work. There have been times in my ministry when I've had the rare experience of being in a sanctuary that was filled to overflowing. Unfortunately, the occasion is always a funeral. I think you've seen the same in this place. There was one most humbling occasion that will always stay with me. It was a funeral for the Reverend Roger Dom, who was pastor of churches in Post Mills and West Fairley, Vermont. As I looked out from his pulpit, it seemed that we reap what we sow was never so well illustrated. Roger was a close colleague. We both served churches in Thetford, and I used to joke that Thetford had a ridiculous, crazy number of churches and post offices for such a small town. Roger came late to ministry. A longtime science teacher, he was ordained at age 65. When he turned 75, he earned his DMin degree. Not long after that degree was confirmed on him, he'd gone out to run. He was preparing to go in a half marathon with his son. And he came home and he collapsed and he died. A few days later, having been asked by his family to lead his service, I stood in Roger's pulpit. And I wish that he could have seen that church full to the brim and then some. Because I knew for him most Sundays the pickings were meager. Like most small churches, there were only a few folks there each Sunday. They were holding on for dear life, like so many of the churches in our area. And it would be so easy, having seen that, having lived that, to get caught up in bitter thinking about it. Why? Why aren't these funeral folks, why aren't they here every Sunday? Where are they? Why should it take a death to bring people together? Then I hear Jesus' quintessential pep talk to his disciples. And I know that this kind of thinking is just like dust on our feet, and we need to shake it off. Can we be unburdened? Can we travel light? It's how we move toward the kingdom. It's the only way we move toward the kingdom. Jesus sends us out to simply enter into the life of the community around us, to share people's lives, to unpretentiously enter into the places where they live, to be there, to share burdens, never getting worn out in doing well. It's easier to do if we don't get bogged down. Paul would tell us what we're not supposed to take on. Don't take on too much pride or selfishness or too big an ego. Oh, and don't take up simple or silly arguments. That will wear you down to nothing. When the ability to focus escaped the apostle, he had this wonderful trick or discipline. Call it what you will, it helped him to keep it together. It brought him back to where he needed to be. The cross. No graven image for this man. No cross that bedecks our churches. Not a cross that hangs around your neck or sits on a lapel. Paul eyed the cross. It was in his heart. It was in his head. The cross, the ultimate reminder of living sacrificially and loving. Big picture, small picture. His own life for another's. It was all framed by that cross. And it was a most simple way to look out on a field of faces. A harvest that is given into our care. Amen.